All right, hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is March the 3rd, 3/3/2025. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It's actually really cold out, but it's beautiful. It's sunny. It's a beautiful day. Great day to be sober. Hope everyone's doing well. I have been sick and down and out, sick and down and out, and I had a bad tooth, and so I have not been in any mood to come up here and do a podcast, but hopefully I'm coming out on the other side. I actually had a root canal done today, and I do feel better. I think I've had the flu. I'm sure I had the flu. Everybody in my house had the flu. Everybody around me's had the flu. It was destiny, and it finally got me. And so I think, I just want to come upstairs and see if I could do a podcast. It's been a rough couple weeks, man. I swear, I have been sort of fighting. I don't even remember if I discussed how I've been feeling in any of my latest podcasts. I don't remember if I was feeling bad in the last one, but I feel like I've sort of been fighting this cold. Well, it all starts with the kids, right? My middle son got sick. He was sick at home all week. I was shucking and jiving, moving, keep it moving. Didn't get that one. He went back to his mom's. She got the flu. And then my wife got the flu. And my daughter then got the flu. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm trying to hide. I'm sleeping in different bedrooms. I'm doing the best I can here. And then I felt like I was starting to get sick, I guess. And then my tooth started to bother me. Oh, my God. And that, you know, that was Wednesday. What's today? Monday? That was Wednesday. I don't know. I just know it's been a rough freaking couple weeks, man. I finally had to go get a root canal done today. I actually got an appointment to see my dentist. Went in, not a cavity, root. So I had to go get a root canal today. That's awful. That was like going back into the medieval ages. Did not love that. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever done, but I've had a couple root canals. That's, you know, those little files, man, they're just filing. They're just doing shit in my inside of my tooth farther and deeper than no human should go. And it was not fun. So we got that out of the way. I do feel better. It just been feeling like I'm just a little bit tired. I have not worked. I go back to work tomorrow. I definitely had the flu, though. Fever. I was fighting it, but feeling better. So I thought I would come up here and see if I could put something together. Maybe just this is a what I've been up to lately podcast instead of a more of a recovery podcast, even though every day is about recovery. I was at a meeting the last time I guess I was meeting, the guy said, I'm recovered. And I do like that. I do like that. I don't think, I always feel like there's work. Just when I think I've got it all figured out, more work shows up. So, but I do feel like I'm closer to being recovered than I am into recovery. And that's great. Luckily, it's a good place to be, right? But I do always recognize there's something to always be worked on. And, you know, this week starts a new week. Last week, I was jumping around meetings because I didn't want to read the 12th step. I know they read the second half of the 12th step on the last Monday night meeting. So this week, I'm sure we'll be back to the first step. I was walking up the stairs going, geez, back to the first step. It's like, isn't there more to this, right? Isn't there more chapters? Isn't there more steps? No, just the 12. But, you know, this first step, and I've sort of been talking about it in the last few weeks, you know, did I really do the first step? Really admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Thank you.
But when I got just a little bit older, all I got had come undone.
Bad Seamstress Blues, Cinderella, band from my day, back in the day, but yeah. So yeah, it's back to the first step. I was, you know, it's funny. If you're new to getting sober, new to recovery, you know, obviously coming to just going to a meeting, right? Just not drinking one night and going to a meeting is a huge freaking step for us. I know it was a huge step for me. I remember when I was working at the Shortstop and I was doing drugs and drinking and sort of my life had become unmanageable to my manager there, and he was firing me, but he wanted to talk to my parents. He wanted to tell my parents what was going on because he thought I was a good guy and I just needed to be put in the right direction. And I remember, the idea was I was going to go to some meetings, right? I was going to go to some meetings, and I was like, okay, but I had been caught once more, right? This wasn't a humble move. This was a self move. This was keep my ass out of getting yelled at move. So I had agreed to go to a meeting, and my dad had somehow met a guy around the town that was a kind of, you know, going to a lot of meetings, right? Helping people get to recovery. And he told me to ask to go to this meeting and ask for him. I don't know if there was a guy that he knew that was working on sobriety. And you got to remember, this was in 1996, so a long time ago. And I remember going to the meeting. He was not there for some reason. But I remember going to the meeting and then going home and drinking. And I might have done that a couple times and then never went back. So the idea of actually going to a meeting, stopping drinking and going to a meeting, is a huge deal. It's huge. You know, I remember when I first, and I've shared this story so many times, you know, the way I came in the program really wasn't fair. It worked for a short time. It got me in, but it wasn't, most of us don't get that opportunity to get our ass kicked, escorted to a hospital, and then asked by a nice nurse if I thought I had a problem, and then wheeled upstairs for a week of recovery, right? That just doesn't happen. I mean, it happened, but that's typically not how it used to happen for me. You know, I definitely think God or somebody was looking out for me that day. And it was enough, but a lot of the times me trying to get sober was just to appease somebody, right? To make somebody happy. Never really doing it for myself. I don't know, you know, maybe they do. I've discussed this before. I'm not sure anybody comes into this program ready to just get sober, right? I don't know what it takes. I was looking in the paper this weekend and another guy, 6th DUI, right? I was like, I kept thinking, I wonder if I'll see him in a meeting. Right, he's probably going to go to jail. But it's always something, right, that has to push us, that ego devastation, complete humiliation, right, an act of providence. And it says it right in the first step. It doesn't talk about how people, you know, decide, geez, I've had enough. I think I'm going to just get sober and go to AA. That's not how it usually works. It takes the act of providence, something that becomes so unmanageable to everybody else that more than likely it's an escape. At least that's what it was for me. I was escaping the consequences of my behavior once again, and this time I just happened to escape into recovery. And, you know, it was great. I mean, it held me. I was there. Learn to love you. No, the program loved me until I started to understand what it was to love myself. And, man, just that statement, that's a podcast in itself. But and that's what the program did. You know, it sort of comforted me, and it kept me safe. But, you know, and I've been, this is one of these things, been doing this a long time, and it's one of these things that's just been sort of coming to me lately. It's this idea of that I don't really think I had ever really thought alcohol was that bad, right? I mean, I know clearly by the stitches and the dents and the car crashes and the evictions that my behavior was unmanageable, but me by myself on a couch with a bottle of vodka, really, you know, I wasn't bleeding from my eyes, right? I wasn't yellow. I wasn't sleeping in the woods, right? My alcoholism hadn't taken me down that far, right? I still had my own place, right? I still had a job. So, you know, my first move, my first, what would be the right word? My first solution, I guess, would be to go to meetings, but it would really just be to get me off the radar of all these people. I personally thought I could probably still drink again. And, you know, maybe that's why I did drink again. I don't know. I don't know, you know, what caused that. I just know that looking back, I'm not sure that I really understood the difference between how I drank and my lifestyle after I drank, right? I feel like they're different. And, you know, I look back today and I know today I cannot drink alcohol, right? I just can't do it. It doesn't matter if my liver didn't fail. It didn't matter if I wasn't homeless. I just know that when I drink, I can't stop. It's just terrible. And I've proven it to myself a couple times, and we don't want to do that again. You know, but, you know, when I came into the program, I had no idea about any of that. I was just amazed, right? I was amazed that I wasn't drinking and that I was at a meeting. And, you know, and I think that's when, you know, it's good to have a sponsor, right? Working with others. You know, nobody really, I don't really remember, or maybe it was brought up to me. You know, I was in a fog, right, for many years. You know, the drinking and drugging that I had done in my life for so long did a toll on me. I was in a fog. I don't remember many of the things that I said. All of the things that I did were probably motivated more by people pleasing, not as much about trying to get sober. The reason I was there was not because I really was concerned about my drinking. The reason I was there is because I was there the day before, and I just was like one day at a time. I just kept going and hanging out, and everything was going smooth. Right, I've shared this before. If I just had stayed where I was at, probably wouldn't have picked up again. But I moved. Right, I had to do other things, and you know, I just wasn't prepared, and eventually would drink. And it's, you know, it's crazy. But you know, the first step is so basic. Right, I've said it the other day. It's so basic. It's the shortest read. We may be powerless over alcohol. Their lives have become unmanageable. I mean, just trying to figure out what those words, right, what they even mean, right? We, right? We takes a group, can't do this by ourselves. We admitted to surrender, right? First humble thing I had probably done, but see, I didn't do that. I didn't do the first. I did the first word, we, right? I was in the group, admitted, but I didn't admit, right? I said, well, I clearly can't drink and drive. I clearly can't, you know, live near people if I'm going to be under the influence. I clearly can't, you know, have parents that love me if I'm going to be under the influence. I clearly can't have relationships with other people if I'm going to be under the influence. But admitted that I can't handle alcohol? I don't know. I feel like I never really admitted it. So, right, we takes a group, admit to surrender the first humble thing I had done. Right, but I didn't do it, so that means the devil's still in there, right? Two spirits cannot exist in the same place. And if I did not, but I didn't really understand. I didn't understand that. I just thought I thought what I was doing was right. I hear, like, I had menopause over alcohol, my life's unmanageable. Look at me, I've got stitches. I was willing to say all of it, but mentally, right? And even worse, right? Even, or not worse, even better, the spiritual. Because I can tell you, when we, the group, right, admit, right, to surrender, that's spiritual. That's humility. You know, I've said it in this podcast. That to me is probably the very, that's the introduction, right? That's the handshake. That's the how you doing with God. Right? That is the building of a relationship with a higher power. And that's where it starts, right there. It takes all of us. We admitted, surrender. And I wasn't ready to do that. I really, and I'm starting, just as I say that, I feel like I'm learning more. Just the fact that, you know, if I'm not admitting, right, that means that I'm leaving self. You know, if self's still in there, nothing moving forward is going to have really a lot of higher power stuff until I have to come back here and finally admit, I surrender. I cannot handle drinking alcohol. When I drink alcohol, I cannot stop, and God knows only what's going to happen, right? And so I, you know, I surrender. I give it up. I cannot drink. So we as a group can't do this shit alone, man. Admitted, right, that we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, right? I admitted I was powerless over alcohol, and my life had become unmanageable to everybody else. That's a person, that position is a person of self, right? And it wasn't until coming back and starting to understand how humility works in my life, and then the third step where we start making better choices, right? And it starts to make, it reflects in our decisions, right? You know, but you can't, you know, you sort of have to be all in, right? And then the second step, and we'll obviously go through that, but in the second step, talking about that, building that relationship and just being like, you know what, I don't know, but I just believe and I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to just guide me. And that's how it is. You know, I shared about that, you know, my buddy Matt, you know, you just have to believe that God is watching over you, and you just have to behave, you know. When you're in those aisles of the grocery store all by yourself, right? If you were someone that used to steal and you're all by yourself and nobody can see you, God can see you, right? God can see us, and that's how we have to live. And that's, you know, I used to share how I used to change my behavior when Matt was around. I wanted Matt to be impressed with my newfound recovery. But if Matt wasn't around, you know, because that's still living in a self, that's a self world right there, right? That's like living with a bad friend, right? Oh, shit, here comes Matt. Shape up, dude. Shape. Here you go. Hey, what's up, man? Okay. All right, I'll catch you later. All right, he's gone. It's like, that's the friend I don't need, right? I need the friend that's like, you know, pick that up. You know, put away your grocery cart, right? Fold up your clothes. Clean up your room, make your bed, brush your teeth, go to work, be kind, be graceful. That's the friend I need with me all the time. Right? And that's what that second step is. That's the guy. You know, that's the guy I need with me. Hey, you know, I got in a little bit of a, not an argument, but, you know, one of the, it was unexpected, really. But, you know, my kid's off to college, and now he's sort of becoming a little bit of a liberal. Oh, boy. And, you know, and if you're even living on this planet, you know, we know it's a lot of interesting stuff going on, especially with Elon Musk and my son, like, he thinks he's destroying the world. Maybe people think that. I don't. I think he's doing really wonderful things for cleaning up our government. But, you know, my son is getting caught up in that college chit-chat and, you know, and RFK and, you know, because the media, the propaganda train is just chugging away. And I was explaining to him why I trust RFK Jr. is because he is sober, right? 42 years sober. And I'll never forget this day that my son and I probably shared about it in this podcast. And, you know, we'd gone to the grocery store and I'd bought all this stuff and, you know, swiped my card and, you know, walked out, you know, with the cart, and my son's looking at me and he's laughing. He's like, I don't think you even paid. And I go, what? What do you mean? He goes, I don't think the cart ever even went through. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I fucking immediately turn around, right? and go back into the store. And I'm like, did my card go through? Did I pay? And he's like, yeah, you paid, you paid. I go, okay, whew. Right? Because I would never steal, right? At least not at this point in my life, right? Not at this point in recovery. But when I was younger, right, when I was in college, right, and I'm not going to say it's college's fault or his fault or anybody else's fault, but I would have probably thought it was kind of funny to walk out of a grocery store not paid, right? I don't know. Maybe most people would feel that way, right? Give it back to the man. But I don't live my life like that, right? I'm a spiritual guy, and there's so many things that are hard to take care of, but just not stealing is really easy. And but I told him, I go, you know, you thought it was funny, right? You were laughing. You're like, you didn't even pay. And I'm like, you know, everybody needs to check themselves, right? We're very critical of everybody else, very judgmental. But, you know, not everybody out is always out to rip us off. And so I'm having to try to pick my way through these conversations with him. And I told him, man, I love it. I think it's great. You should have your opinion. You should experience this kind of stuff. You should live. You know, I said most young people are liberal when they're young, right? Because they need shit. Right? It's amateur hour. You know, everybody wants to take care of everybody and everybody needs a little help. You know, I've been a liberal my whole life until I got sober, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, and I'm not even, I don't even consider my, I'm really nothing. I common sense, quite honestly. I would say more conservative, but actually really just independent. I really just a common sense, normal, you know, live a good life, be kind to your neighbor, you know, don't steal, don't cheat, all that simple shit, you know, the Bible kind of stuff. Life, you should have a pretty good life if you can do these things. But early on, man, we were a lot of people start off as liberal, especially in college, you know, and then as we evolve, you know, we start to see what's going on. It is an interesting time for sure between, you know, I think about when I was growing up, you know, just to like 15 years ago to now, how things have changed and so much information, and it's crazy, right? But I told him, man, I love it. I said, you should be, you know, think about all this stuff, right? Have an opinion. But make sure, you know, you don't just get caught up in the chit chat, right? If you're going to learn about something, you know, and if you, you know, 20 years ago, you could, maybe there wasn't so many opportunities to learn about things, but today, man, you know, if somebody says something, it's really easy to figure it out. And I said, don't get caught up in the chit chat, you know, do your facts, search it out. And I said, and I'll send you stuff and you send me stuff and we'll talk about it. But then I'm like, do we even need to do that? You know, am I trying to be like my kid's friend forever? I mean, I want to have a relationship with him, but we're not going to be buddies forever, right? My kid's going to grow up. He's going to be a man. He's going to be a family guy one day or something, whatever. And he's going to run his own show, and he's going to need me to butt out. I'm here, but, you know, we're not going to agree on everything, and I'm just starting to kind of get that around my brain is that, you know, because I felt bad, right? I didn't want to upset him. And I'm like, he's 19. He's going to be 20 years old this year. He's going out into the world. You know, I can't sit there and try to, and who am I anyway to try to influence how he thinks? I'm like, you know, I love it, David. Just think, you know, experience this stuff. If you want to have a conversation about it, I'm here. But yeah, it's interesting, man. I don't know. First step, admit to surrender. That's what's coming up. Yeah, I just thought I would come up here and sit down and see if I could just share a little bit. It is going to be it's going to be a short podcast because I really don't have a lot to say. But like I said, we are starting the first step, starting them over steps over this week. I don't know, maybe I'll go to the meeting tonight and I'll do another podcast tomorrow. Maybe I'll read some of that plain English thing and see if that maybe we can find anything in there. I was supposed to sit down with my two guys I'm sponsoring. I sat down with one of them a few weeks ago. I sat down with both of them last week. We were supposed to meet on Sunday. I was sick. I was like, guys, I'm not doing it. I'm sick. So hopefully we'll get back to that next week. That's been really cool. We're starting to read the second step. And that's cool. So, you know, everything's good. But yeah, let me see. Maybe I can read a Daily Reflections and then I'm going to go. What's the time actually? Yeah, it's not that short. Let's see. Yeah, it's funny. I must have had the flu in my life, but this is really the first time I've had the flu in a long time. I think it's really going around. I'm pretty sure everybody I know has had the flu, I think, it seems, because I had to cancel a bunch of appointments, or like I had the flu, it took me 7 days. Oh, it was rough. All right. Overcoming self-will. Ooh, March 3rd. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Though he usually doesn't think so, above everything, we alcoholics must rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. Overcoming self-will. Yeah, okay. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 62. For so many years, my life revolved solely around myself. I was consumed with self in all forms, self-centeredness, self-pity, self-seeking, all of which stemmed from pride. Today, I have been given the gift through the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous of practicing the steps and traditions in my daily life, of my group and sponsor, and the capacity if I so choose. I put my pride aside in all situations which arise in my life until I could honestly look at myself and see that I was the problem in many situations and react appropriately inside and out until I could discard my expectations and understand that my serenity was directly proportional to them, I could not experience serenity and sound sobriety. That's interesting. So it's I was consumed with self in all forms, self-centeredness, self-pity, self-seeking, all which stemmed from pride. All right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate you giving me a few minutes of your time. I'm still trying to get better, but, you know, we ain't got time to sit around. You know what I'm saying? Hope everyone's doing well, and thanks for letting me share, and I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.